I've gotten a couple of questions about various things that I've said. I wanted to hit a few of them super, super quickly before we get into this morning's message. First, someone had a question. I had that graphic slide for you, the text. Throw that up there. I had mentioned the first night the principle of pseudo-SCOTUS. Someone was like, what is that? Look, that is how it is spelled, not scouts, SCOTUS. Like the Supreme Court of the United States, SCOTUS. Although that's not the etymology of it. So if you want to Wikipedia that, that will tell you everything you need to know about that, how believing a contradiction can lead to just, well, as you would expect, believing contradiction leads to nonsense. On my website, glennandpaula.com, that's my wife's name, Paula, true story. So at one point, there was also a glennandpaul.com. Very different couple. And people would get confused. And they'd email me, what? And I was like, no, add the A. I got a couple of essays on there about some of the things that might be helpful to you guys. You're welcome to. I'm not selling anything. There's no books or anything there. It's just various things I've written for free. Also, one thing that I do for my students that a couple of you at UVA have signed on to and found interesting. Once a week on Fridays, I will send out an email listing between 5 and 7 things typically that I've really found stimulating that week. Something in the news, or maybe an ancient spiritual reading that I read from something like Calvin or Augustine or something. And I just put links to them, send it out, and that gets posted on there. And you can subscribe to it online if you'd like to get those emails. It helps my students stay engaged with the world around them and prepared to, you know, handle things like, I don't know if you've noticed, there's a really jacked up election going on right now. And it's confusing as a Christian to know exactly what is my role here. And so some thoughts about things like that. Okay. One more thing. Someone asked me last night, it was a great question. So faith can help us escape or endure. How do I know which one to do? I thought it was a great question. And I said, so the book of Acts can be usefully read, the middle third of it at least, as the story of Paul running away from things. And Paul, like, he will go minister, things will get bad, and he will flee to the next town. And I think that is a role model for us. But then at the end of that middle third, before it goes into Paul's imprisonment, and everything, God speaks to him and says, go to Jerusalem. And so he goes to Jerusalem, knowing he's going to be imprisoned there. He escaped, in some ways amazingly, and then endured. How do you know which is the role for you right now? Always try to escape. This is just sanity. If there's something bad in your life, your prayer should be, God, get me out of this thing. Like Paul prayed, I got a thorn in the flesh. God, take it away. Nothing. God, take it away. Nothing. God, take it away. And God's like, okay, you can stop praying now, Paul. And he's like, okay, God, help me endure. Your goal is escape. Sometimes the Lord says, stay for a bit. I've got something I'm working out here. Does that make sense? All right, cool. Now, back to Ephesians chapter 6. I don't know if you guys remember. So someone asked me, I was like, what are you talking about? You finished the armor of God. No, I finished the accoutrements. I've not finished the point. In fact, we've not even gotten to the main point yet. Everything I've said this weekend has been building up to this moment. Remember how it began in Ephesians 6. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That was the intro to the armor of God. We need to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And this is a theme in the book of Ephesians. As you read through Ephesians, why is this on the right? I always put it on the left. There we go, that's better. I pray, Paul says at the opening of the book, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, I pray the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. His power. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, in every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. I pray that you may know God's power, Paul starts the book of Ephesians. What power? The same power that raised Christ from the dead and elevated him far beyond anything that we can imagine. That power is for you. That power is in your court. It's on your team. It's pulling on the direction you're trying to go. Is God helping you out with that mighty power? Paul says, I pray you know it. And then later on in Ephesians 3, he talks about the power of God, the mystery of the gospel, the rules, authorities. We don't have time to wade into that passage. But Paul in Ephesians keeps bringing this idea of God's power. And now at the end of the book, he says, finally, as he's winding down the letter to the Ephesians. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Wear the armor of God. And then you'd expect him to be done. Because he's got, it's like parentheses, right? You open, da-da-da-da, close parentheses, power, power. But he's not done yet. Paul has one more thing to say. Ephesians 6, 18 to 20. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Why do you need the armor of God? Well, to withstand Satan's attacks. Why does Satan care about you? Why are you on Satan's radar? Is it just because you're a human who bears God's image? That's part of it. He doesn't like anyone. Satan is not like, you know, it's not like Hitler, but he loved dogs. No, Satan hates everyone. Everyone. You are not a special exception. You're not a special snowflake. Satan just has a special soft partner's heart for you. He hates you. But in particular, UVA Chi Alpha, he hates each of you. Why? Because there is a spiritual struggle going on, and you are actively working on God's team. And so Satan wants to derail you. Satan wants to render you ineffective for Christ at UVA and then beyond. Satan wants to take you out of the game. And so you need the armor of God because our call is the call here, like Paul, to be an ambassador for Christ. That's a very interesting word. Paul uses it elsewhere in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. We are therefore Christ ambassadors. As though God was making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Did you all know, some of you, first years you probably know this at all, some of the second, third years probably know this, that's where Chi Alpha gets its name. We're not a fraternity. We're not a sorority. We have a Greek name because we have a Greek book. The New Testament was written in Greek. We had it first. We let them use it. Those are our letters. Chi Alpha. We are Christ Chi Ambassadors Alpha. What do ambassadors do? Some of you guys want to be ambassadors someday. You're going in the foreign service. You want to work for State Department, do all this stuff. What do ambassadors do? Well, in our case, we're ambassadors for a king. That means we make friends on our king's behalf, and we advance his interests wherever we find ourselves. That's what ambassadors do. They advance the interests of their sending authority, and they try to make friends, right? That's what you're called to do at UVA. You're called to go and make friends on Christ's behalf, and Satan hates that. Satan doesn't want there to be friends of God. He wants there to be enemies of God on campus. He wants people opposed to God. And so when you try to make a friend, Satan comes against you. When you try to make a friend for God. And then we try to advance God's interests. What are God's interests? What are Christ's interests at UVA and in the world? It's easier to see them in the world around, perhaps. So let me step off UVA for just a second, off grounds. I was talking to a group of fourth years this morning, and one mentioned that she's considering staying in Charlottesville? Yeah, and giving a year. Not necessarily through Chi Alpha or through a ministry agency, but there's like a resource center for victims of sexual violence, domestic violence. Okay, that's God's interest. God wants there to be a world where there is healing for the broken. When you do stuff like that, you're an ambassador for Christ. When you do things to help feed hungry children, you're an ambassador for Christ. When you take this broken world and bring it closer to the way God wants it to be, you're fulfilling your role as an ambassador, and Satan hates that too. Is that my mic? If I need a handheld, someone out there let me know, okay? But so I'm just going to press on. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the armor of God. Why put on the armor of God? Because Satan is trying to stop you from being an effective ambassador for Christ. Satan was trying to stop Paul from being an effective ambassador for Christ. And so, as you leave this conference center, as you go back to grounds, yes. This. Okay. If you want me to go to the handheld mic, just throw your thumb up and I'll roll with it, okay? And the key to being effective as an ambassador for Christ. What Paul says here that would make him an effective ambassador, even in chains, is having the power of God accessed through prayer. Prayer specifically in the Holy Spirit. Prayer in the Spirit. I don't know if you noticed, but in this verse, in this passage, Ephesians 6, 18 to 20, Paul uses the word all a lot. Pray in all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. For all the Lord's people, always keep on praying. That last one was a stretch, but it had all in it. Why? Because you can't do the things that God wants you to do in your own power. I had a friend who pastored a church a couple years ago, and he used to tell me that his leadership team, when they get together, would talk about this. They'd say, what are we doing here at this church that an equally talented group of atheists could not accomplish in our place? That's a good question for you at UVA. You're surrounded by very talented people, some of whom do not share your values. What are you doing in the service of God that an equally talented group of atheists or practitioners of other religions would not be able to accomplish in your place? Prayer. Prayer is what brings us into link with God and allows God's power to go beyond what we can accomplish in the natural. Pray on all occasions, all kinds of prayer requests, all Lord's people. Let me tell you a confession about my life. I pray on some occasions with some kinds of prayers for some of God's people, sometimes. And as a result, there are times in life where I don't see God's breakthrough power like I could. Probably some of you have a similar story. Again, from the very beginning message, if what you're picking up right now is guilt, I don't pray enough, I suck. Okay, feet shod with the readiness that come from the preparation of the gospel of peace. If God this morning brings something to your mind, it's not to condemn you, it's to invite you, it's to include you, it's to take you up to the next level. And Paul says the kind of prayer that we need is not just like memorized prayers. Maybe you have some, that's not so bad, you know. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, let everyone else die in a big earthquake, whatever you pray. That's the California prayer. Good food, good meat, good God, let's eat. You know, those are fine. Or maybe some more, you know, formal memorized prayer, you know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. There's nothing wrong with having things memorized. You get rewarded for it in school, and I would encourage you to memorize the scripture. And there's prayers in scripture that are worth memorizing. But you need more than a script. The spiritual battle that we're in is not something that is won because you have the right phrase, because you've got like the special code word, and Satan's like, oh, well, that I'm done now. Forget that. He rhymed, you know, whatever. You need to be praying spirit prayers. Now, I actually had a UVA student come up to me last night and said, what are you talking about today? I mean, you cover the whole armor of God. You're done. Like, we're done. And I said, I want to talk about praying and praying in the spirit. He said, praying in the spirit. Is that speaking in tongues? I've heard that speaking in tongues. You're going to tell us all to speak in tongues tomorrow? No. Not personally, I do speak in tongues. I have had wonderful experience of this being a gift that God has used in my life in a powerful way. And if that's something interesting or surprising you, you can all Facebook me, you can email me, you can reach out to me. It's fine. I'll accept your friend request. And we can talk about these things later. But clearly, that's not what Paul's talking about here. At some times in the Bible, when he says pray in the Spirit, he means speaking in tongues, but not here. How do I know? Because Paul says, pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers and requests. And the thing about speaking in tongues, it says very clearly in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul clearly says, when you pray in tongues, if you pray in tongues, you don't know what you're praying. This one?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Heal this bad boy. When you pray in tongues, you don't know what you're praying. And so he's saying here, you need to be deliberate about your prayers. They need to be spirit-led prayers, but you know what you're praying. So it's not praying in tongues that Paul has in mind here. Instead, he means in some way that we are led by the Spirit in our prayer life. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. In 2 Corinthians 13, 14, Paul says something very, very interesting. It should be up here on the screen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Do you know the Holy Spirit is a person you can have fellowship with?
In my experience, very many Christians conceptualize the Holy Spirit as the Force in Star Wars. Like, you can get a picture of, and wrongly get a picture of God the Father. It's kind of Zeus-like on the throne, you know, big muscular beard, some lightning bolts handing around just in case he needs them. That's not biblical, but at least you can conceptualize it, right? Jesus, like, we all know what Jesus is like. We've seen the paintings. Clearly, the Middle Age artists knew what they were doing. The Renaissance artists, they knew what Jesus looked like, and that's what he looks like. We can conceptualize Jesus. The Holy Spirit, kind of a gray blur. And the Holy Spirit often becomes it instead of he to us. It may be for some of you that one of the main things God wants to do in your life at UVA is expand your awareness of the fullness of his triune nature, that you would walk in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of Father God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And one of the main ways our relationship with the Holy Spirit manifests and deepens is in our prayer life. When we pray, the Holy Spirit is there with us. And sometimes what the Holy Spirit does is he guides us in our prayers, which he then intends to fulfill. So back when I was at Missouri State University, I went to college in Louisiana. I moved up to Springfield, Missouri, where I went to seminary. And while I was in seminary, I began working with the Calpha ministry. And that ministry just exploded. Like, the first day I showed up as an associate, like, I was just volunteering, they had literally doubled in size. And I didn't know it. I just saw all these leaders walking around, like, what just happened? Literally, they're meeting 1 week. It would be as though, I don't know what you guys are running now, but imagine just this Monday, twice as many people showed up and you didn't know why. Be freaking out. They were freaking out. And just God was beginning to work there, and people began to have these intense experiences of God's intervention in their lives. It's crazy stuff was happening. Well, one thing that the guy who went on to become my supervisor would say is, like, right before that happened, we just had this intense prayer set of meetings where people would get together and we would pray, and we'd pray for the campus, we pray for our ministry, we would just lift up our friends to the Lord. And there was one meeting in particular, and it was on a Friday night, and Brandy was praying. And Brandy was probably like a second year at that time. And she was praying. And it was one of those prayer meetings. I don't know if you've ever been in this kind of prayer meeting where it's just kind of, I mean, it's not mellow, like hippie smoking pot mellow, but it's more of a relaxed prayer meeting. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, yes, and God, we just thank you for your love that you've lavished us on the cross. Father, we're so grateful. And then Brandy lays in. Dear God! Right now, there are parties happening down the street that are breaking your heart. People are being taken advantage of. Lives are being ruined. God, break the back of the Greek party system on this campus right now. And Joe just shoots up. What was that? And like all of a sudden, everyone kicks into hyper-spiritual mode. Yes, God, we are both that. We rebuke that name of the Lord. Yes, sir. And, you know, and Joe's like, what just happened in here? And he just thought, that was odd, and yeah, right. Yeah, right, sure, whatever. Unbeknownst to Joe, unbeknownst to Brandy, at that very moment, as best they could determine, at that very moment, there was a Christian police officer who's going on patrol, and he saw something at a party that was happening right down the street from the Calf House that he thought, that's not right. I'm pretty sure I have probable cause right now to go investigate something. So he walked on in, discovered there was some bad stuff going down. Shut the party down, collected some evidence. They found large quantities of a date rape drug on the premises. That chapter got suspended, and it literally destroyed the party scene on campus for the rest of that academic year. Now, what happened in that moment? That was a prayer of the Spirit. Brandy was sitting there. She was minding her own business. Yeah, God, thank you for your love. And God's like, party scene now. She's like, what? Pray against it now. She's like, why? I told you to pray. God! She let out. And God inspired a prayer that he was then pleased to fulfill. Now, how's all that work? We got to have sent the police officer there. Because he said, it was like the Holy Spirit singled it out to me. What would God have done if she hadn't prayed? I don't know, but I know this. The way God chose to do it was by her prayers that he inspired and then chose to fulfill. You put that in your theological pipe and smoke it however you want. But I know this. God has ordained that prayer is one of the ways that he interacts with this world. And very often, God invites us. He gives us the privilege of being his partners in achieving his purposes on earth by allowing us to pray the prayer that he then uses as a catalytic moment to go forward and to intervene. Spirit-led prayers. Not every prayer meeting you have is going to be like that, but you need to be open to it, UVA Chi Alpha, in your core group, when you're praying for one another, to just as you're there and you have your plan, you're like, you know how it is. You're going around the circle and like, okay, and I'm going to pray now, and then I'm going to pray for Susie, and you know, I know she's going through a hard time with her parents, and I'll pray for Billy, you know, and you have you're sort of, like, you're kind of engaged with the other prayers, but you're sort of rehearsing your own prayer in your own mind a little bit. You guys ever do this? Okay. You need to be open to the idea that God's just going to come along and sort of tap you on the shoulder and say, no, veto. Instead, turn towards Becky. Hey, Becky, right now, as we were praying, I just couldn't get you out of my head. I think there might be something God wants me to pray for you about. Does that resonate with you? Is there something? And then Becky starts to tear up. She's like, actually, and boom. It's out there. And now your whole core is mobilized. And two or three are gathered there in the name of the Lord. And they're praying in faith. And God brings a breakthrough into Becky's life because you were obedient to pray a spirit-led prayer. Very often when I'm praying with people, they'll come forward to the altar after a meeting or something. I'll be praying for them. I will ask them, what do you want to pray about? And I will pray about that. But then I will often find just other ideas bubbling up within me, and some that I can clearly talk from God, others that are just like, you know, it's a good thing, I'll pray it anyway, we'll see what happens. Throw a bunch of Velcro, see what it sticks on, you know? But very often I will find in that moment that things that they didn't ask me to pray about, but I then go on to pray about, is where they get wrecked. It's where God is showing his love for them. This thing you've never told anyone. This thing that you were just, you thought you had to struggle through alone, God's like saying to them, I know. Right this past week, I had my pastor went through just a ringer, just a hard week involving, you know, his father having dementia, being in a nursing home and things going south there, and then having this abuse case that came to light from a family in the church. He's cooperating with the police on that. And it's just one of those weeks where it's just like, oh, everything is. And then one of my students, PhD candidate, just had a vision of my pastor Greg appear in her mind, which she never has this. You're there like, yeah, whatever. I don't have visions. Okay, she was that person until like 4 days ago. She doesn't have those. And just all of a sudden, boom, he was there. And she's like, why? I don't know, but I should probably pray for him. And so she's like, and I'll just send him a text. Hey, Greg, it's Min. I'm praying for you right now. Let me know if there's anything you want specific prayer for. And he came up to me that Sunday and said, I said 4 days ago, it must have been like 11 days ago. It was last week. So he came up to me and said, Glenn, that was one of the coolest moments in my ministry in a long time. Sometimes you feel alone and God reminds you that you're not. Thank God, seriously, that Min was obedient in that moment. Her spirit-led prayer did a great thing. It did more than she could have done in the natural. She's an encouraging person, but God helped her to be even more encouraging. I am close to done. I went long in the first few nights so I could go short this morning. So I'm going to tell you one more story, give a couple points of application, and then we're going to have the worship team back up. And we're going to go back to grounds. You go back to grounds. I'm going back to California. And God's going to do great things in your life. I shared this story, I believe, at Winter Retreat. Some of you have heard it. That's okay. It's worth repeating. It happens in the Bible. They repeat a lot of stories. Like, how many times did they talk about the Exodus? A lot. Why? Because it was a big deal. The resurrection, we're still talking about that today. So this is not quite to that level. But I remember once we had an event where we brought in one of the world's greatest scientists who is a Christian. Francis Collins, currently the director of the National Institutes of Health at the time, the director of the National Human Genome Research Institute. He was the guy who led the enterprise that decoded human DNA back when you were in middle school or whatever. He's smart. He's a Christian. He got saved. After he became a doctor, through a variety of events, he became a Christian. So he came to share about his faith at Stanford and just how it is that he's this very eminent scientist and also believer in Jesus. Shared this amazing thing about faith, science, how they work together. And it was awesome. Afterwards, there's this gal. out in the audience. And I mean, I was pleased to speech. I was up there on the stage, like, yes, score, slammed up for the gospel. It's amazing. I'm leaving the platform, and I see a group of my students gathered around this one student. He's like, aah! And I'm like, oh, dear God. It's late. I'm old. I'm tired. I don't want to put up this. I can tell this person wants to have an argument. The guy said something that offended her. Just let her talk to the PhD candidates in physics. I'm going home. Because I'm very spiritual that way. And try to sneak past, but one of those guys who was there in the circle was at the time in training to become a Navy SEAL, so he had those sniper eyes. He saw me across the room. He's like, yo, Glenn, come over here. I was like, dag nab, walk over there. And she's like, aah! That's actually a quote. She sounded like that. And I said, ma'am, it's late. I'm tired. And I think you just want to argue. Here's my cell phone number. Here's my email address. If you're serious, contact me. I'll meet you anytime on campus. Talk as long as you want. But for now, I'm going to bed. And my students are like, you can't do that. I was like, the Bible says don't cast your pearls before swine. She's an oinker. And I started walking. I know. Everyone does that. Everyone does that. She was not even remotely plump. She's actually a model. She was a swine in the spiritual sense of someone who just wanted to argue. The Bible says, don't do that. I didn't actually say that out loud in front of her face, by the way. I have more sense than that. I just said, the Bible says, you know, just don't argue with people who want to argue. And later I unpacked the whole thing for them. Kind of like Jesus. He'd say stuff to the Pharisees, he'd say to the disciples. Let me tell you what I really meant. So I thought, I'm never going to hear from her again. Next morning, I get an email. Dear Reverend Davis, thank you so much for your gracious invitation to come and chat with me at my convenience. It would be very convenient for me if you'd stop by my office. And I thought, oh, snap, she has an office. This ain't no student. Turns out one of my students, God bless her soul, and literally God bless her soul, had invited a professor, one of her teachers, to come and hear this Christian talk. How many of you would have that kind of gumption, by the way? Just want to file that away. Invited a professor. The professor came. And got touched by God, but had questions. So I walk into her office. She says, all right, thank you for coming. Great to be here. And as best I can remember, after the pleasantries were over, I sat down and she said, so why do babies die? Oh, it's going to be one of those conversations. And for the next 3 hours, she ripped me up one side, down the other. Every nightmare you've ever had about evangelism came true that day. Like, you just think that if you go meet someone, it's going to be the love child of Christopher Hitchens and Richard Dawkins. They're just going to... And as it turns out, that does happen. I've been doing ministry for longer than some of you have been alive, or at least as long as some of you have been alive. This is the only time it's ever happened, but it does happen. What do you do when that happens? I'll tell you what I did. After hour three, when she went back to why do babies die again, I was like, okay, Nikki, we've covered this. I gave you an answer. I think it was pretty good. But either it was good or it was bad. Either way, it's the answer I've got. I can just repeat it for you. So let's stop doing that. Instead, I'm going to pray for you now. She's like, what? I said, well, I'd like to pray for you. You have a choice. I'm either going to pray for you to your face or behind your back. Which would you prefer? She's like, well, pray for me to my face. All right, so let's pray. She's like, how do we do this? I said, close your eyes. She closed her eyes. And I said, I'd like to touch your forearm as I'm praying, just for a point of contact. Just trust me, it's a thing that matters. She's like, okay. And so I start praying for her. I said, God, open Nikki's eyes. She's got so many questions. She wants to know the truth. You're touching her life. And she starts trembling as I'm praying for her. She's like, what's happening? Why am I shaking? I said, it's the Holy Spirit. Shut up, Nikki. And I kept praying. Afterwards, she looked up at me with tears in her eyes and said, that was cool. And I told her, you know, come to Chi Alpha. We'll talk. So, and I walked out. I said, I'll never see her again. She was at Kappa next week. She was at Kappa every week after that. About a month into it, long story short, Nikki gave her heart to Jesus. She's still serving Jesus today. She's married. She's got two kids. Lives here in Virginia. Because a student had the gumption to invite their professor to an event they thought would be appropriate for them, and because a stupid pastor who couldn't answer all her questions prayed a prayer led by the Holy Spirit. Do all that you can to honor God with your lives. Put all your energy and resources into it. Do your best to come up with reasonable answers to the honest questions that your friends have. Have great events at Chi Alpha. Make your core group appealing. Do all those things. They all matter. But if at the end of the day, on top of all that, you don't have the Holy Spirit's power, you're going to see less fruit than you could. Paul said, pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. Keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And pray also for me, so that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. You go back to grounds. You're an ambassador. Fortunately, not in chains. But you're an ambassador. Pray for all God's people. Pray for everyone in this room. And pray especially for the people in your core, that God would make them effective ambassadors. When we pray for evangelism, and worship team, you can come up now. I'm closing with this. When we pray for our unbelieving friends, in my experience, Christians often do it oddly. And I want to say oddly. I don't mean bad. It's not a bad prayer. Bad prayers are rare. Bad prayers are wicked prayers. You're like, Lord, make me the drug lord of Colombia. Okay, that's a bad prayer. That's actually a bad prayer, right? Most prayers are not like that, praying against the will of God, you know? Lord, make me the Antichrist. Choose me. Let me fulfill the prophecies. Those are bad prayers. We often, though, pray prayers that are just sort of like orthogonal to God's purposes. They're sort of like, they're not bad, but they're not really where God's going. So for example, I often hear, God, make Becky fall in love with me. That's not a good prayer. It's not a bad prayer. It's not evil. God, I think, is just going to disregard that prayer. He's like, I think what you actually want is someone who loves you, not someone I like mind controlled into loving you. It's actually not what you are looking for in this scenario. So let's let Becky make up her own mind about this, okay? And also, let me speak to you. Put on some deodorant, take a shower. That will actually help your chances with Becky. Let me just guide you in that process. Pray for our friends. God, make Becky love you. Again, how about I not just mind control Becky? How about instead, we bring Becky to the point in her life where she genuinely loves me? It's not bad to pray for your friends by name. I encourage it. But when I look in the Bible and there are prayers uttered on behalf of the lost, they almost never look like what I hear in most of our prayer meetings for the lost. This is how I see Paul praying and inviting people to pray and how the other apostles did it. Acts 4, 29 to 31, they said this, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Not God save them, God use me. Lord, enable us to speak with boldness. Colossians 4, 3 to 4. Pray for us too, Paul says, that God would open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I'm in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. God, I'm not saying you would pray and you would just save the Romans, God. I'm saying give me open doors, opportunities, God. Give me divine appointments on grounds this week that I can't engineer on my own. And then God, when that door is open, God, give me courage to walk through it and proclaim the message clearly and fearlessly. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored. Not pray for them to get saved. Pray for us to be effective in God's service. The passage tonight we just looked at. Pray for me also. Whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me. That's not the only prayer you should be praying for your friends, for the leaders in Chi Alpha. But it should be on the list. Pray that for Pete, for the staff team here. Pray that for your core leader. Pray that for your peers in your core. If you pray Spirit-led prayers, Spirit-fueled prayers, prayers that are birthed out of fellowship with the Holy Spirit, in pursuit of God's purposes, you will need the armor of God because Satan's going to come against you. But you need not fear. You need not be dismayed. You need not be concerned. Because you have a belt of truth. You have a blessed breastplate of righteousness. Your feet are shod with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And when things get bad, you have the shield of faith that you can take up. The helmet of the hope of salvation that you can put on your head. A reminder of God's ultimate victory. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that you can go to battle with. And when you've done all else, you'll be there standing, still serving Jesus, praying for God's purposes on grounds and beyond, an effective ambassador for Christ. Join me in prayer. Father, you didn't bring us here just to bless us. You brought us here that we could bless others. God, what you did in each heart this weekend, you want to replicate in other hearts that were not here this weekend. God, I pray that the kingdom of God would advance at UVA. God, that as these students seek to serve your purposes, Lord, that you would bless them. You would guide them in that process. Lord, that you would deepen their walk with the Holy Spirit in such a way that Satan's schemes are thwarted and your purposes are established on grounds. I want to close by blessing you. It's something that I think you actually do at UVA as well. Something that we do at our ministry. And after this, we're going to go to worship, and I think there'll be a couple of dismissal announcements happening. I do want to say, if you gave your life to Jesus this weekend, if you confess Christ as your Lord and your Savior, last night I told you, go and talk to someone, or maybe you've done it even this morning. Well, hallelujah. That's so great. You've got to both believe and be public about it. You need to talk to someone. Please, I implore you, go tell your core leader if you've not yet, and also mention it to someone on staff. And the reason is, the spiritual journey is a complex journey and you need help on the way. And we'd love to come alongside you and partner with you and give you advice on how to take the next steps of obedience to Jesus. In particular, one thing you need to do, you need to make plans to be water baptized. And I think Pete or Josh or any of the staff would be very happy to talk with you about taking that next step. Let me bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. As we leave this retreat, remember that you're not leaving a meeting. You're leaving as part of a community. A community of students earnestly following Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. You are Chi Alpha. Your name stands for Christ Ambassadors. That is who you are. A people who represent a king, who make friends on their sovereign's behalf and advance his interest wherever they find themselves in this world. So as you leave, go forth with an eager desire to see how God intends to use you to bless others. Go forth with faith in your heart, hope upon your countenance, and love upon your lips. UVA, it's been an honor. Thank you so much. May God use you mightily, and may God establish you for a lifetime of fruitful kingdom service.